You know, everything that we do, we must do with eternity in mind. Everything we do, every decision we make, whether we go here or there, or how we spend our time, how we spend our energy, how we spend our attention, how we spend our money, all of that must be done with eternity in mind. Because you don't know when it's going to arrive for you. Some people think, well, let's put it off because I'll do it some other time. Well, the other time may never come. The other time may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Today is always the best day to make a good decision. You know, sometimes we get so busy, especially in our culture, we get so busy. I have found that one of the best ways the devil uses to distract us is busyness. He'll get you busy, even if it's a good thing. As long as you're too busy for the things of God, he'll be happy. He's happy with that. Anything that will separate you from the Lord is good enough for him. If he cannot get you with a bad thing, he'll get you with a good thing. As long as he gets you. And we need to be wide awake and alert and smart. And to make sure that our lives are dedicated to God. Amen. And we don't get distracted. I know that one of the best weapons that he has is distraction. He'll get your mind focused on something else. I know that because he did it with me. And I lost some good things because of that. I lost some eternal treasures because of that. And it's always more difficult to recapture what you've lost. That's more difficult. Once you lost it, man, it's hard to get it back. It's a tough fight. We can get it back, but it's a tough fight. It's a tough fight. I always think of how much of a privilege it is to stand here today. I had a friend with me. He was with me in school. He was also in our church. But his parents were not dedicated Christians. They were Christians, but they were not dedicated Christians. So he came to church now and then. And then one Sunday evening, he was in church with us. And my father got up, and we were about 16 years old then. And he had a word of knowledge. And he said, somebody's son is setting. And he went forward to make his peace with God. And that was Sunday evening. Thursday evening, he died. 16 years old in an accident. And I always think of that because we were friends. And I'm here today, but he isn't. He isn't. And I went on to live my life, thank God. But he couldn't. The devil came and snatched it from him. Thank God we know where he went. I was there when he went forward to dedicate his life to God. He had the courage to do that. I find that today people don't have the courage to stand up for God, to make that decision. And to commit where people are witnesses of it. You know, we like to do things in secret where nobody sees. He had an issue. And he was not right with God. No, let's be people of courage. Stand up, let people see. I made a decision. You know what? Those witnesses and the fact that you did it where people could see it will bring you back on a difficult day. And you say to yourself, it's hard now. But I committed, and everybody knows that. I can't go back. But when you do things in secret, the enemy will come and deceive you and put pressure on you. It's easier to turn around. Come on now. We need to be bold. We need to be people of courage. We need to be people of courage. We're not wimps. Amen. We're going to talk again about the kingdom of God. And today I want to talk about kingdom culture. Kingdom culture. One of the many titles that Jesus has is Prince of Peace. Now you know that a prince is a title of a ruler. It's the title of somebody who reigns. And this is how Jesus rules. He rules by peace. No force, no manipulation, no obligation, no law, except the law of love. Because Jesus came and he said, I give you a new commandment. Why would he give us a new commandment if the old one is still valid? And the new commandment is more powerful than the old one. The two commandments he gave us, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and your whole being. And the second one, equal to that, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you think about it, that takes away all the tension. Because if we, you know, out there in the world, everybody loves himself. And that brings a lot of conflict of interest and tension. And a lot of bad things flow out of that, where we're just out there for ourselves. But when we love our neighbor as ourselves, then there's peace. Because you're not in competition. You're not in competition. You know that you don't have to fight for every penny and your own little place in the sun, because God's there to take care of you. He's there to take care of you, and you don't have to worry about it. There's peace on the inside. You know, the moment we lose our peace, we know the devil has gained some foothold in our life. When you lose your peace, trouble is coming. That means somebody else is now ruling. The Prince of Peace is not active in your life now. And so, and God leads by peace. You know, when we have peace about things, then we know God's leading us. When we make decisions and there's peace about it, we know He's leading us and He's guiding us. But when there's uncertainty, you better be careful. You might just get yourself busy with your own wishes that might lead you away from the Lord and the peace that you enjoy and supposed to enjoy. And so, in God's kingdom, there's peace and should be peace in every life. And circumstances have nothing to do with that. Nothing at all. It's the fact that He is there. And so when we talk about the culture of the kingdom, Paul talks a little bit about some things there in Galatians 5. You don't have to go there now. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means long courage. Not suffering, but courage. Kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And this is all part of the culture of the kingdom. Now, these things should be present in our lives. Now, we're going to go to Isaiah 55 to start off with. Isaiah 55. It's a very important scripture, and we keep on coming back to it. And verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Well, that's today. That's today. Call upon Him while He is near. So don't put things off. And the righteous, let the wicked forsake his way. Now that way he's talking about his lifestyle. Let the wicked forsake his way or his lifestyle. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Now we know that thoughts lie at the bottom of every decision. And every action that we take, it all begins with thought. And so we want to change our lives you start changing your life by changing your thinking. You cannot change your life unless you change the way you think. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have the privilege of spending some time in different cultures of the world. And every culture thinks differently. The fact that a culture is different is because people there think differently. Culture is just thinking. It's just the way people think. That's culture. And so we're talking about the culture of God's kingdom today. There's a specific way we have to think when we're in God's kingdom. We have to adapt to his culture. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly. See, that's what we need to do. We need to return to him and know that he will abundantly pardon. Now, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. See, and that's our problem right there. That's the problem we have. And, you know, we love our own thinking. We love our own thoughts. We love our own ways. And that's fine. But a way leads to somewhere. And if we want that somewhere to be good, then we would do well to do what he says here. Let's forsake our thoughts and start thinking like God does. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we have two ways of thinking and two ways of living. There's a low road and a high road. Now, the world will always get you going on the low road. God is working to get us on the high road. He's working to get us on the high road. Because that's where he wants us to be. And so what we first need to understand is that the thinking in God's kingdom is different than the thinking out there in the world about everything. It covers everything. You know, I don't want to go into all of that. But, you know, thinking of money, thinking of relationships, thinking of how we spend our life, all of that is different. All of it is different. And so God's telling us it's different because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Therefore, my ways are higher than your ways. Now, you cannot walk on the high road and think the thoughts of the low road. For you to get onto the high road, you have to think high thoughts. And that's God's thoughts. Now, how do we get into God's thoughts? That's the question. Well, he's telling us right here in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. The word of God bridges the gap between our thoughts and his thoughts. And when we start putting the word of God into our minds, into our thinking, then we'll start walking on the high road. But when we read the word only, you know, it's only there for Sunday, or I have to read the Bible before I go to sleep, that type of thing, that's not going to help you. We have to read it so that it can change our thinking. If we don't allow the word to change our thinking, it's not going to help us. It's not going to help us. We're going to stay right where we are. He says, so shall my, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's what we all want, isn't it? For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. That's the lifestyle. That's the lifestyle. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, we're going to talk about the culture of God's kingdom. When many of us here are immigrants, I'm an immigrant too, there's no use in immigrating from another country and coming here and not adopting this culture, because you're going to miss out on a lot of things that this country has to offer. If you come from another country to live here as you lived in your old country, you could have stayed there. You could just have stayed. There was no reason to come then. You'll be missing out on all the benefits. And I will get into some of that. So when we emigrated from the kingdom of darkness immigrated into the kingdom of God, there was a culture change. We had to change culture at the same time. Now, everybody who immigrated will know there's something like a culture shock. Man, it's different. Everything is different. Everything is different. And nobody likes change. So the first thing that comes to you is you resist the change. Everybody resists change. You resist that. You know, I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the food they eat. I don't like the language they speak. I don't like the way they think. It's different. It's too much to learn. And some people resist that, and they never change. They never change. And they live in a country of abundance, like people who have no benefits at all, just because they will not get into what the land has to offer. No, it's the same with the kingdom of God. We come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, everything is different. There's a big culture shock. And I'll tell you, that culture shock is what keeps Christians weak and poor and insignificant. That culture shock keeps them down there. They'll go to heaven, but that's all. They'll never know what it is to live a life of fulfillment. They'll never know what it is to have peace on the inside. They'll never know all the benefits of the kingdom of God. They live just like the people of the world. They never change their culture. And that's the problem. And unfortunately, Christianity is overpopulated with that kind. We haven't risen up to the full extent of what Jesus purchased for us at the cross. We've been slow in learning and adapting to our new culture. We've been slow. And God has this culture of abundance, and He wants us to step into the fullness of it because His glory depends on that. And so when we come into the kingdom of God, we have some culture changes to make. There's a few things that have to change. Not a few things. Everything has to change. And it starts with your thinking. I remember when we first went from South Africa to Belgium. That was rough. I mean, everything was different. And we didn't like it at all. The language is different. The food is different. The weather is different. Just the way they think was so different. We could not read the telephone directory. The way they organized the whole thing made no sense to us. Afterwards, we found it the easiest thing in the world. But we had to get into the thinking. We could not understand the bus schedules and the train schedules. It was all so strange and different. It made no sense to us. And we kept on thinking they were stupid. And found out they were not stupid at all. They were pretty smart. And a lot of people come in from the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom and think, over here, people are stupid. They do stupid things. They believe stupid things. And they waste their lives. And that's how they think. And they just carry on. They think, well, I'm going to heaven now, so that's okay. And keep on living like they lived in the kingdom of darkness. Well, God has the abundance that he wants to pour out on us. And his peace and his joy and his fulfillment and a life of purpose and a life that counts for something. Not a life wasted. You don't have to go there now, but when you read Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, right in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the heading in my Bible calls it the Beatitudes. Now, really what it is Jesus introducing to us the culture of the kingdom. That's what we see. He says, don't hate your enemies, love them. Well, that's different. That's different. He says, give and you will receive. Don't rob somebody to get something. Give. That's different. I found that one of the most different things in the kingdom of God that I've ever known. How can you give to receive? It makes no sense. And yet, that's the way it works in the kingdom. That's God's economy. And so you'll see as you read through those chapters that Jesus talks about. He says, you have heard, but I say. You have heard, but I say. And he's contrasting the old with the new. Things are changing. He came to bring change. He came to introduce the kingdom of God. And you cannot come into the kingdom of God and have your old king rule over you and your old culture. It makes no sense at all. There's no reason to make the change then. We come in to change. And I don't know of anybody who has fully changed yet. We're still changing. We're still changing. When we went to Belgium, we were used in South Africa that our, your medical benefits, we purchased from insurance companies. You usually get it through your employer, but then if you needed extra, like here, you purchased an insurance policy for that. When we went to Belgium, we didn't know how it worked. There was nothing like that. You had to join a political party, and through that affiliation, you got medical benefits. Now, if you don't know that, you don't know it. And if you don't know what you don't know, you go without. And we didn't know. And when we found out, it was the silliest thing we ever heard. You have to be part of a political party. So, we lived there for a few years before we found that out by accident. Nobody told us. And then we decided, well, if you're going to cost a political party any money, we can just as well join the socialists and let them pay for all our medical bills and so on. And that's what we did. We couldn't vote, so it didn't really matter to us. It was just a benefit. But that was different. You know, the problem with the culture change is you come into a situation that you don't know what you don't know. And you have to start talking to people. You have to read things. You have to go on a journey of discovery to find out what is available. Well, when we came here, Aggie helped us a lot to get into all of what we had to get into. And without that, I tell you, we probably would have struggled still. So when we make that culture, when we come into another kingdom, it's up to us to find out. It's up to us to find out, how do we think here? How do we live here? How does the financial system work? What's the language we speak? All of that. That's our personal responsibility. If you want to reap the full benefit of what's available to you. Okay, now, the first thing I want to look at this morning is new appetites. The food is different over here in the kingdom of God. The food is different. Well, if you spent all your time watching the soapies on TV and so on and spent most time on that, you'll never find out what is available in the God's kingdom. There were some things when we went to live in Belgium, foods that we could not stand. Things they eat. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible stuff. We couldn't stand it. But after we got used to it, we love it. And nowadays, when I go there, I make sure I get at least one of those things. You don't really have it here, but the chicory plant. They cut, you get it, it's not well known, but they have a way to cut it off, and then they put it in a dark place, cover it with dirt, and then it grows there in the basement. They discovered it by accident during the war. They tried to hide things and then discovered something coming out of it. And boy, that's a lovely dish. And and we couldn't stand the taste of it. Now when I go there, every time I make sure I at least once eat that. I just love it. But we had to acquire that appetite, the palate for it. Now that's how it goes in the kingdom. When you come into the kingdom, you need to understand that our food is the Word of God. And if you don't eat that regularly and make that your staple diet, you will miss what God has to offer you. You'll miss that. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's our food. And we need to change our appetites. There are some other appetites too. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, old life, old kingdom. But now you are light in the Lord, new kingdom. Big difference between darkness and light. Big difference. Walk as children of light. Walk means lifestyle, the way you live. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. If you get your flyers at home every week, they'll tell you what is acceptable to you. They try to sell you things that are acceptable to you. It'll make your life nice. Give you a nice life. Comfort. But over here in the kingdom, we ought to find out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. A totally different way of thinking. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, old kingdom, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, Circumspectly means you have to have eyes all around your head. You need to look out and be alert. Be wide awake. Not as fools, but as wise. There's a lot of fools in the kingdom. It's not a nice thing to say that, but there's a lot of fools in the kingdom of God. Because they don't walk circumspectly. They feed on the same old food of the old kingdom, fill their eyes and ears and minds with the garbage out there, loving their old appetites. When the Israelites came out of Egypt and they were in the desert, the thing they complained about was the food. They wanted the leeks and the garlic and the fish and the meat of Egypt. They complained to Moses about the food that they had to eat. They refused to change their appetites. They longed for the meat of Egypt, where they were in bondage. They forgot the bondage. They just remembered the meat. And the old appetite, it was nice to do that. You remember that? It was nice to do that. The one thing I don't understand today of the world is that when people get drunk, they think they're heroes. They talk about it the next day, and they were so drunk and they did this and they did that and they think they're heroes. What a stupid thing to do. And they forget the big hangover they had. Those are old appetites. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. In the kingdom, we redeem the time, which means we make time free for God. Time is important in the kingdom. And so part of our culture is to redeem the time. How much time are we redeeming for the things of God? See, that's part of the culture. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How will we understand what the will of the Lord is? When we spend time in the Word of God, that's the will of God. When we spend time fellowshipping with Him, meditating on the Word, we'll know what the will of the Lord is. Not a mystery, it's all written down. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, I tell you what, this week you have time to be filled with the Spirit. If you redeem the time, you'll be filled with the Spirit, I'm telling you. You'll be redeem the time to be here in the evenings, you'll have something to talk about. And there won't be any hangover. And so there are some appetites that need to change. You go from the appetite of getting drunk on wine to the acquired appetite of being filled with the Spirit. It's new. It's very different. Oh, but it's good. It's good. You can have a lot of fun in the Spirit. People think, when you're in church, you always have to be very, very serious and so on. But there's a lot of fun in the kingdom. There's a lot of fun, and people need to get into that. There's a lot of fun in the kingdom. Because with it, you have the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and all of that, satisfaction. There's no hangover. You feel good after you've been filled with the Spirit. And the day after, you still feel good. And so these are appetites that need to change. That need to change. You need to go after it. It's not coming to you. You need to go and get it. You have to redeem that time so that you can be there where you can take part in all of this. Okay, let's move on. Something else that changes is principles. Principles, laws. And the laws are very different in God's kingdom. Thank God there are not many laws. We have some principles that we live by, but if you live by the law of love, you don't really need any other law. if you live by the law, the two laws that Jesus came to give us, the two new commandments, you don't really need any other to live by. Because those two commandments exceed the Ten Commandments by far. See, you could do the Ten Commandments. They tried. They tried in the Old Testament. They tried to do it in the flesh because in their hearts the law of love wasn't activated. And they tried and failed. They failed. But now, when we live by the law of love, we can grow in love. God just put that deposit in our hearts. The Bible says that the love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You got something to go with. You got the seed. And you can grow that seed. And you can grow that love. And you can grow in, and we should. And you know, the love is not a love for self. It's a love for God and our neighbors. No, that's different. That's very different. I tell you, that's not something we spend a lot of time talking about. But we need to grow in the love for the lost. And those around us. We love to criticize them, but we need to love them. That's how we'll get them into the kingdom. I've never heard of anybody who got criticized into the kingdom. And yet, you know, that's what's going on. That is old culture that found its way into the kingdom. There's no place for it. We need to love. So we need to change and get into God's law and into His principles that we live by and His customs. There are customs. And traditions. Do you know there are good traditions and bad traditions? There are good traditions. It's a good tradition to come to church. It's not a bad tradition. It's a good one. It's a good tradition to spend time with the Lord. It's a good tradition. A tradition is something that you do without thinking. Just because it's culture. You know, it comes automatically. And habits and manners, different things, different ways we do things, all of that have to change. And we need to adapt to that of the kingdom. Okay, let's look at some scripture. Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. That's where Jesus started in his ministry. And he made some announcements. But look at Luke chapter 4. And verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, Jesus had a custom. He said he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So he had a custom. It was his custom to go to church. It was his custom. Now, if Jesus needed to build that custom, so do we. We need to build that custom. It's a custom. It's something that you do. We were brought up that way by our parents. You know, Sunday was the day. That's the day of the Lord, and nothing else was planned for Sunday. Nothing else was planned for Sunday. Nothing. That was the day of the Lord. And we went to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Actually, we went to church 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And 10:30 the service started. And we went to the service also. So we were there from 9 o'clock till whenever the service ended. And then we went to the evening service. That was the custom. Now, if you're in the kingdom, you won't have any trouble with that. If you love the Lord with all your heart and all your might and all your whole being, it's not a problem to do that. It's not a problem to do that. It's a custom. You do it without thinking. That's just the way we do. We have people who sometimes visit us, and they're not Christians, family. And they know. They know. They've always known. If they come to us and they're there on a Sunday, they go to church with us. We're not going to say, well, we're visitors now, we can't go to church. Before we were in ministry, they came to visit us in South Africa. And they went to church with us. Now, our church there, Rhema, was a church at that time of 12,000 people. The sanctuary held 5,000, and the place was packed. So when we walked in there, the people were already praising the Lord. They were singing, and they were hands in the air. They thought we walked into a disco. They thought it was a disco. They had no idea what church is all about. What their idea of church and our idea of church are very different. They were here just the other day. Now they don't come on a Sunday anymore. They were here earlier on, and they sat there at the back. And just before we came to church, she said to her husband, just make sure you have some coins for the collection. You see, that's how the world thinks about all of this money. Coins for the collection. We don't have a collection. It's an offering. You have a collection for the scouts and for the tennis club and the hockey club and all of those. But when you come to church, it's an offering. It's something that you bring to honor God with. I don't like that word collection. It's a word that slipped in from the old kingdom. It's an offering. We bring an offering. The Bible talks about an offering. So now they don't come on a Sunday, but we were talking about that the last time they were here, just a few months ago. And I don't know how it got to this discussion. And I said, well, I'm not really a person for ceremony. You know, I'm not a ceremonial type person. I just want to get the job done. And she said, well, how is that possible? Isn't every service a ceremony? I thought, oh Lord, you know, our thoughts are so wide apart. How do we explain that? But that's what they think. That's what they think. Don't come here to this church for a ceremony. You won't find any. There are no ceremonies here. But we have a custom to come to the house of the Lord on the day of the Lord. It's a custom. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. And I tell you what, you will never understand how we appreciate you in this church. I'm telling you, wherever I go, I brag about you. And sometimes there are some things we think, well, that can be different. And, you know, and there's always room for change. But I tell you what, we are so blessed to be here. There's a good culture here. Now, we can grow that culture, and we ought to. But thank God there's a good culture of faithfulness and giving and dedicated lives in this church. Makes it so easy to minister. Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." Well, he had a custom. Paul had the custom to go to the synagogues and to teach and reason with them. That was his custom. And that it's a good custom also for us. If Jesus had that custom and Paul had that custom, we should too. That's part of the kingdom culture. We have customs here, and part of that custom is that we go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. I have found out in my years that I've been a pastor of church that people who have that custom of being faithful at attending church, do well in life. I have found also that people who just come to church sporadically, now and then, you know, they'll come. They have problems, too many. You don't even know where to start helping them with those problems. And so they have to develop a custom to go to the counselors. But if you have a custom of attending church where the Word of God is spoken, you don't need a lot of counselors. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is a counselor. And when you come to church, He'll counsel you. He'll find something. There'll be something that comes to you that will help you. The Word of God will help you. He will counsel you from the Word of God. And your life will be free. That's one thing about the culture of the kingdom, is that freedom. They have freedom. Jesus said, if the Son has made you free, you shall be free indeed. That's what He wants for all of us, to be free. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another. So we need to check upon one another. That's what He says. In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner or the custom of some. Some people have a custom of not being faithful at church. The assembling of the saints. They have a custom of not being there. They like permanent visitors. They're always a visitor. Now, it's always good. I sometimes go to churches and visit. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But then there's a place where you need to build a custom to go to. I've always believed this, that I go to the place where I get the best spiritual food. That's where I go. I have to take care of my own spiritual life. And I go to where I get the best spiritual food. Because that I want to have the best for my life in the Lord. We were faithful at our denomination years ago. Very, very faithful. Never missed a single service. We went to all of them. The prayer meeting, the Bible study, the youth service, the Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And we taught Sunday school. We were faithful. Until we found out, there's another place there where the spiritual food is just gourmet-style food. And we left. And I can never look back. Yeah, I got hooked. I got hooked on the teaching of the Word of God. There's a lot of preaching going on, but not all is so based on the Word of God. And it's the Word that is our food. And when we found that out, we were off. We left. And we built a custom of going to where we got the best food to build our faith. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a day coming, you know that, eh? There's a day approaching. It's not time to take these things lightly. I don't know when the Lord will come. I don't know. But when I look at the signs, I see the day approaching. And I see so much of those things, so many of those things that we spent our time and energy on, pretty soon will have all lost its meaning. And I say, let's redeem the time now because eternity is right here. All right, we need to move on. There's a new language in the kingdom of God. There's a new. Do you know we speak a new language? It's a language of faith. In the world, they speak the language of doubt. They're always negative. They always tell you the bad news. So many people have been killed in the city. So many have been stabbed and shot. And so many. and all of that, and all the bad news. And because they're always negative, they don't know how to speak the faith language. So when we come out over into God's kingdom, we need to learn to speak the faith language. A lot of Christians have a problem with that. They just cannot learn that language. God calls those things that do not exist as if they did. That's speaking faith. When you look at your circumstances and some things are missing and some things are out of place, you can either confirm that and speak the language of the world, or you can speak the outcome because you know God's going to deal with that. He promised. Then you speak the language of faith. And if we don't learn to speak the language of faith, we will miss out on a great deal that the kingdom has to offer. Well, you know, if you go, let's say you come to Canada and you cannot speak English or French, where do you go to inquire if you can't speak the language? Where do you go to ask questions? You're stuck. You're stuck. So it doesn't help to come over from the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom and you don't know the language. You'll be stuck. And you look around and you say, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says nothing is happening. Well, maybe you don't know how to speak the language. If you want to communicate well and get what you need, you have to speak the language. And you learn that language. It's not going to fall on you. You don't get it issued with your citizenship or your visa when you come. You learn that language. We're all still learning. I'm learning still. We learn that language. It takes time to learn that language. We'll just do one scripture, Hebrews 11. We're in Hebrews. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God, why would you go to God? To ask for something, right? All right, when you ask Him something, you got to have to use a language. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you go to God, you're going to speak the language and you're going to formulate your communications in such a way that you address the solution and not the problem. Speaking the faith language. Well, I'm sick. Well, that may be true, but I'm going to speak the faith language now. I'm not going to lie. When you're sick and you say, I'm not sick, you're lying. But when you say, I am sick, but by His stripes, I'm healed. I begin to speak the faith language. When there's a short a lack in my life, I say, God will supply in all of my needs. Amen. Not equal to my need, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I begin to speak that faith language. Well, I can sit there and talk about my need and how bad it is and how deep it is and how impossible it is and all of that. Nothing's going to change. If you go to God, you must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder. He's going to reward you with a good outcome when you go to Him. Don't go to God with your doubts. He doesn't speak that language. He speaks the faith language. You know, God's not going to feel it when He gives you what you need. He's not going to miss anything or lose anything or lack anything. There's no lack in God's kingdom. There's no lack in God's kingdom. So when we go to God, we need to speak that faith language. Amen. All right. We'll move on. We'll move on. Another one. The kingdom has laws. We'll be quick. John. Gospel of John. Chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Can you see a measure? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's a commandment. That's a law that we live by. All right. There's an economy in the kingdom. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 9. There is an economy. Now, in the world, the economy is based on buying and selling. That builds the economy. I mean, now with this whole economic slowdown, the governments are putting money into the economy, encourage people to spend so that the economy can grow. But in the kingdom, it's different. It's based on giving and receiving. That's a different law, economic law. It's based on giving and receiving. Verse 8, we can read the whole chapter, but let's just do this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, that's a good economy. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, how does it work? It says right there in verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly, it's talking about money now, will also reap sparingly. If you're sitting with a harvest that's not enough, it's not sufficient, maybe you haven't sown enough. And he says, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's God, that's how God's economy works. And it's just one of those things, you know. It has nothing to do with how much you have or how little you have. Norbert read this morning about that widow. She gave her last to the prophet, the man of God, the last morsel. And then God supplied. She took the last seed that she had left, the last one. She could have eaten it and that would have been it. But she sowed it and reaped the harvest. That kept her going for a long time. God's economy. Now, the last one. God has currency. Do you know that? Currency here is dollars. God's currency is people. He doesn't think he's rich when he has dollars. It's just a commodity to him. He thinks he's rich when he has a lot of people that love him and follow him. 1 Timothy 2. People, and this is our last scripture, people save money. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 3. And we're closing with this. For this is good and acceptable, praying for all people, in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all people to be saved, all of them. And so if we want to get into God's currency, we'll do what we can to fill up his treasury. Saving the lost, going after the lost, sowing into the lost, and speaking with the people all around us, talking with them, witnessing to them, offering them the gospel. They have complaints all day long, and do we have answers to those complaints all day long? And we know how to get them, and we should. And get God's currency into the kingdom. Grow his kingdom by growing his currency. That is his wealth, when people follow him. And that's what we should be after as Christians. Okay, we've been long this morning. Let's just close our eyes. If you haven't immigrated into God's kingdom yet, then this morning you can do so. And I'm not going to take up much time, but if let's close our eyes. We're not looking around. Everybody is now busy with himself and God. If you still need to immigrate into God's kingdom, you can quickly do so. Just raise your hands and we'll pray with you. Coming into the kingdom.